The title of our presentation is Leveraging Community Assets to Combat Health Disparities in Suburban Counties in Chicago. And I think just as a caveat, a couple of things that I want to say. First, I want to acknowledge the funding that makes this project possible. We're funded through NIH and NCI. But one of the caveats is that we're really right smack dab in the middle of our research intervention. And so a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is the process that gets us to where we are, but not necessarily the results that are going to culminate from this study. One of the things I think that makes our project a little bit unique is that it is focusing on a suburban community. I think many people recognize that increasingly we're seeing significant demographic shifts in communities, both in terms of socioeconomics and also increasing diversity. And while there are a number of funded projects focused on using patient navigation in ending cancer disparities, we are one of the only ones that I'm aware of right now that are focused in the suburban population. The DuPage County Patient Navigation Collaborative, it takes a village, apparently, to navigate cancer patients. And a number of the folks that are indicated on the slide are actually here today, so I want to acknowledge Nadia Hajar, Charita Balarczyk, and Carmi Frankovich, three of our navigators. Melissa Simon is the primary investigator for our project and unfortunately is not able to be here today. I'm going to work off of the assumption that many folks in this room are familiar with the model of community-based participatory research. But really the important piece of this slide is that all partners need to contribute their expertise and share responsibility and ownership in order to enhance understanding of a given phenomenon and integrate the knowledge with a level of action that actually improves the health and well-being of their community members. I think that the care and feeding of partnerships is probably one of the challenges and the opportunities of research like this. And community-based research has its own unique set of challenges. But a few of the key steps that I really would like to highlight are really around getting the right people involved at the table, making sure you keep them at the table. And the best way to ensure that you have both academic and community partners that stay engaged, in my view, is being very respectful of their time and making certain that with each meeting you are both being very clear in your objectives and following through on your promises and commitments. I think that's really had a lot to do with the buy-in that we've managed to have and maintain throughout the work of this project. Also, of course, acknowledging when things aren't working and making changes. So the goal of this community-based participatory research collaborative is, of course, to address the lack of fully developed healthcare safety net, accommodating new influxes of poor individuals into the community in which I live and work. It's DuPage County. DuPage County, and we'll talk a little bit more about its shifting demographics later in the presentation, but it's fair to say that it's a very active and engaged community. But we also recognize that in the last 15 to 20 years, there have been significant changes in the needs of the community and rapidly shifting demographics that have probably led to increased barriers in terms of access to care for some of our newer community residents. The community has been interested in and engaged in efforts to try to work with promotoris or community health workers with limited success in the last several years. So there's been some training of promotoris, but this is really the first effort to bring patient navigation in a broad and comprehensive way to the community. The DuPage County Health Department, which has a breast and cervical cancer screening program, had been considering and doing research on the use of navigation when this opportunity came to our community. As I shared, there is a breast and cervical cancer screening program, which is an invaluable resource, providing both funding and staffing to support our uninsured community residents' access to breast and cervical cancer. But the resources are limited. There is a census of about 1,500 patients per year. And when that money is gone, in flusher times, perhaps there would be more resources that would be brought to bear. But I don't know if anyone has heard, but Illinois is broke. So this is a timely intervention for us. The program that I work for is Access DuPage, and this is about a 10-year public-private collaborative effort, Access Project, which has at any one time about 11,000 to 12,000 enrollees that are low-income and uninsured living in the DuPage County area. We also have a network of upwards of 1,000 primary care and specialty care providers, as well as the collaborative partnership of our 7 hospitals. So this becomes a really notable resource as you look at how to provide not only intervention but also treatment for patients who are diagnosed. I want to talk a little bit about what our patient navigators look like, because the term is used frequently, but it means different things to different people. And in our conception, a patient navigator sort of takes some of the qualities that we thought were most relevant and necessary to us from the field of case management and also from community health work. Our patient navigators are primarily laypersons, although we have a handful of social work navigators as well. Most important for us, there is cultural, racial, and ethnic concordance. It's a bilingual and bicultural team that does as best as we can to represent the diversity of our community. That is, of course, as you can imagine, an impossible task if you have dozens upon dozens of different ethnic groups and languages represented, but we try to hit the high points. Like case management, probably the thing that would distinguish our patient navigation is that it is focused on the medical milieu and it still stays pretty connected to the medical community. However, like the traditional role of a community health worker, our navigators are not tied to the medical office or to the hospital or to the Access to Page program, and in fact, frequently their work takes them out into the community in patients' homes or other community settings and also allows them to travel freely with the patient as needs would present themselves. Of course, our goal is to provide timely access to quality cancer care that meets the cultural needs and standards of care for all of our patients. That little red box represents where DuPage County is. The purple immediately to its right represents the city of Chicago. And DuPage County is actually the first community due west of the city of Chicago and Cook County, which encloses it. DuPage County is the second largest county of Illinois. We have 1 million residents. It has historically thought to be a very affluent community, and it's probably on balance relative to some other communities still true. But between 2000 and 2007, the number of individuals that are at or below 200% of federal poverty actually increased by about 51% in a short period of time to about 145,000 people. That means that there are more people living below 200% of federal poverty in our community than the entire populations of 87 of the 102 counties in Illinois. Over the last 15 years in our community, Latinos have actually increased by about 203%. Actually, this will show a little bit in regards to the changing demographics of our community. What you can see is that over the course of the last, this actually only represents a 15-year period of time, there was about a 17% increase in the total population of the community. But you can see that those that were under 100 or 200% of FPL were actually increasing at a much greater rate, 114 and 75% respectively. The race and ethnicity numbers are significant as well. In fact, what you can actually see is that in terms of sheer numbers, the number of white folks living in DuPage County have actually decreased over the years from 1990 to 2005, decreased by about 6%, while at the same time, we've had more than doubling of our African American and Asian American neighbors and a tripling of our Hispanic patient population to numbers that are really quite significant, over 100,000 of our residents, more than 1 in 10. In a community that was 92% white, until 1990, this is a significant change. Unfortunately, while we like to pride ourselves on progressive access to healthcare, what you can see is that there are some numbers where we could really stand to do much, much better. And what you can really see is that in terms of our African American community members, our female breast cancer mortality is very troublingly high. This is relative to another community like ours. Lake County is another collar community in Illinois, but also compared to the city of Chicago, which gets national press for not being very good, also the state of Illinois and the U.S. Interestingly, we're actually, according to this data, looking as though our breast cancer mortality amongst our Hispanic neighbors is actually relatively good. Similarly, what you'll see on this slide, which talks about mammography, and the next slide, which is going to talk about pap smears, is that relative to our suburban Cook County and Chicago partners, our rates of mammography and pap smear are lower than you see in those urban populations. They're slightly higher in terms of screening than other collar communities like ours. Lake and Will represent relatively similar communities to DuPage. But again, looking at suburban Cook in Chicago, we are significantly lower. And by the way, that purple represents lowest income and the yellow highest on a gradient scale. more of the same information again. In terms of pap smear, thank you, we have significantly lower numbers than the urban populations immediately to our right, possibly speaking to significantly greater volumes of resources that are being brought to bear in those communities. I think one of the challenges in a suburban population is that because we aren't typically funded either through governmental resources or through grants such as these, it means that we don't have the same opportunities to try to work aggressively on those numbers, and hopefully that will change. So our goal is improving the rate of compliance and receiving follow-up care. So this is very timely in regards to Tamara's project. Reducing the time most specifically from the time of initial screening to both definitive diagnosis and follow-up care. Our patient navigators link up with patients at the point of an initial abnormal finding and then travel with them along their journey to both diagnosis and, as necessary, follow-up treatment. A day in the life of a patient navigator, as you can see, they wear an awful lot of hats. But in essence, at the end of the day, while a piece of their goal is to be recording very carefully all of the barriers to care and hopefully the resolution of those barriers, their other goal is to really be sensitive to the expressed needs of that patient and to help to initially, I think, be a bridge between patients and the provider community, but ultimately, hopefully, certainly encourage patients and empower them to be able to do that work on their own down the road. So it may mean that they actually travel with patients to healthcare visits, help them to make appointments, address issues that might prevent them being able to keep those appointments, answer questions they might have, and look at things even as disparate as housing needs or counseling needs or childcare needs for their families. Thus far, like I said, we're right in the midst of our data collection. And what you'll see is that in terms of enrollment in our study, what we're finding is a 75% white Hispanic patient population in terms of initial findings of cervical abnormality, and 58% still majority in the breast sphere. We have about 6% and 8% respectively in African-American patient populations, but it's relevant to note that there are only 5% of our community that is African-American. It's a relatively small number in comparison to our Hispanic community members. We've had a total of 336 abnormal screenings. I should say that not 100% of those that are screened are eligible for the study. There are a handful of factors that would render them ineligible. Most notably, the factor would be because we do have a very diverse patient population, and many of the research protocols would require that we need to be able to communicate all of the questions in their native language. We have to exclude some folks who may be English-speaking partially but not are fully fluent. We have a team that is Arabic-speaking and Spanish-speaking in significant measure, but we don't have someone who speaks Mandarin Chinese. And so when that need arises, we're happy to navigate them, but we can't actually enroll them in our study. The good news is that in terms of keeping patients once they are enrolled in our study, you'll see that we've had very few that have been lost to follow-up and have been able to successfully exit most of those patients from our study. We did have a handful of folks who declined to participate. The conclusion, we're really excited, and I'll speak from the perspective of someone who provides healthcare services or coordinates healthcare services for low-income uninsured residents of our community. The role of patient navigation in helping patients with breast and cervical cancer needs is, for me, extremely exciting, but also fundamentally narrowly defined. You know, our hope is that we will see the same kinds of navigation resources continue on in the breast and cervical cancer realm, but also be expanded to so many of the other chronic diseases that many of our patients are struggling with. We're still studying, and we look forward to coming, hopefully, next year and the year following to report the results of our interventions. But I think that because we've built the partnership that allows for Northwestern and programs like mine and the Health Department to work together, we're going to really see the results we're hoping for. A thank you to NIH and many of its respective arms, including NCI, for the funding that makes this project possible. And thank you also to all of our partners who are really bought into and committed to the success of this intervention. And thanks also again to the women in our studies and the navigators that do the bulk of this work. Thank you.